Hello, neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode number 45. Today, I risk going all existential on you because I'll ask questions like, what is a farmer's market really? And what is it that people want from such a market? But these are real questions, important ones, questions that mix practical flesh and blood concerns with the magic of connection, community, and spirit. If you think that a market is just a location for economic exchanges, well, you have the page upside down. Markets are community in action. Talking about them is a way of thinking through our place in the world.
After teaching hundreds and hundreds of families in South America how to grow food, and they say, okay, now we have all this extra food, what do? We create a market. We need to sell it. It's not just about how to produce. That's technically easy. It's like, who's going to buy, when, and how. If they go to these market events and they have a sense of family, a sense of connection with the local community. And I asked there, what is the worst province to grow food? Newfoundland.
So, okay, go on, check it out. Today I talk with a person who is steeped in farmers markets, grew up in them, worked in them, helped to create and sustain them, and keeps expanding on his model of what they are and what they do for people and for communities. He's passionate about the importance of interaction and participation in the market experience, engaging all of the senses of the visitors, enlarging their view of the glorious varieties of food and craft and culture available. Some of you know him through his earlier work with the St. John's Farmers Market and the Mount Pearl Market, and his freely offered and highly sought after advice to other markets in the province. But there's a new model he's working with now. We meet up at a noisy coffee shop in downtown St. John's, but vibrant markets are generally noisy. It's a good sign and very appropriate given our discussion.
Well, I'm Danilo Gonzalez. I'm involved in everything related with food security and cultural events and specifically community market event organization. So I own the one community organization, which is called the Market Family. And I currently manage an inventory of over almost 300 local vendors, which is local business entrepreneurs, all the way from face painting to restaurant owners, food trucks, artists, music producers.
How did this evolve?
The model for Market Family evolved as a natural consequence of having different markets in different venues in different cities. So there is a demand from local business owners. People, especially in the St. John's area on Avalon Peninsula, fortunately, they are appreciating everything related to local. The concept of supporting local is growing gradually every season. So that means that you need more market events, you need more venues, you need more vendors. So since the province is dealing with taxes and higher cost of living, all of a sudden you have brand new vendors because they're trying to add an income to their finances. And many of them, they are actually really talented with great ideas, with great skills. So we saw the opportunity to bring not just a venue, to bring the opportunity to expose those new vendors to different activities, to different markets, to different communities. And we just put everything together. We just put the pieces together. We don't limit ourselves to one community, one venue at a time. Our business model is kind of unique in Newfoundland. Basically, we are not a non-profit. We are not a cooperative, nothing like that. I'm actually the only one owner legally. But in reality, every single vendor is part of this organization. That's why we call the Market Family. So our revenue structure, our revenue, it comes from three ways. One is for the vendor fee that we only pay the most minimum cost, the place, if we're renting a place or whatever, or just the marketing. The second in revenue is from our own coffee sales. We sell only locally roast coffee, in this case from Trinity Coffee Company and Cafe Terranova, which is a brand new business. And the third revenue is our own food booth. So this structure is quite attractive because you can keep vendor fees really low and you don't depend on vendors for to pay your bills. You depend on yourself. So all of you are part of something beyond. Plus, everything related to training and improvement, for example, how to do better marketing, how to do your taxes, networking, selling skills, the same vendors they teach each other. Because, for example, we are the first community market organization to be fully certified in food safety in Newfoundland. Why? Because one of our vendors made the connection with Service Newfoundland and Blue Drop and say, hey, there is a skills tool service in Newfoundland, so it's an online training program that you can do it. And say, okay, so we made the contact, and all of a sudden, all of our vendors now, they have a food safety training program. And now it's our new policy that we have.
When they join, they have to do that training.
They have to do it right away.
Because was this a model that was percolating in your head as you were working in markets over the years?
I think it's a natural consequence. I never planned. It was like, okay, since I have 14 years experience like creating different markets, I think this one was just a natural consequence. It's like taking the best from different past experience and applying to the current reality right here. The way how you can improve and grow is by giving your time, giving your effort, giving your networking, share that, and everything is way much easier.
What is it that people are looking for when they go to a market that you are able to provide differently than if it was a sort of conventional market?
So you have at least two different kind of clients, at least in Newfoundland. Those ones that they're coming to find out what is this market. Like any market or any fair that they call themselves market, the name ends with market. People that just come to say, okay, they're going to be vendors, they're going to be offering something, I'm going to try to find a nice price, something cheap and nice. So those kind of clients, they're challenging because they don't have a clear concept of local support. They just go as a curious people to find out, check it out. It's good for awareness, it's not good for sales because you might have non-sales. The other kind of client is more like they have some idea about local support and they know that they're going to find something interesting and they're going to value the fact that actually it's handmade, it was handcraft and it's locally sourced. So those customers, they might spend some money, but even if they have non-money, they go to interact with vendors and to learn more about them. Those are the regular customers that you see in no one market, in so many other different fairs and markets. That's why we play with the name. That's why our last name is no market. It's family. It's a market family. So that's why we're bringing market experience to different communities. Who? This family of vendors, this family of local entrepreneurs. At the end of the year, after sharing so many special events or like working together, the real feeling is like, I know this person. We're sharing like drama and success at the same time. We cry and we laugh together, even if we don't spend a lot of time. But the intensity, the quality of experience, it's rich and it's genuine, just like a family. That's why the concept and name came naturally.
What is it that vendors are looking for at a market as well?
Not only for this kind of market group, I think in any market organization, they have the same kind of people. Just they need more exposure and hopefully on a regular basis. So you can play in both ways. You can offer a regular venue, regular day, regular hours, regular vendors, which we tried the first 6 months in Mount Pearl. But now we're switching to the only regular is like frequency of events. We're going to be in different places with different venues, different events. So those vendors, even if they are in different locations, they just want consistency. It's like, yeah, I'm going to be at the market family or with any market, whatever, in regular basis. That is the number one demand from any vendor. But what we're offering also is like, yeah, what we call the on-site sales. That's good. But we also going to start with online sales. To many of them, they have to compete with each other in a good way, especially jewelry vendors, some craft vendors. Even if they have completely different product, it's the same category. So at the end, like they're going to sell for like, for example, for holidays, for the Father's Day, Mother's Day, whatever. So you can attend 10 different events at the same time, for example. So if that's your only one way to increase your sales, to increase your business, it's going to take forever. So you need to mix and you need to combine with online sales. We want to be the local online sales supporting local vendors, selling to the rest of the world, but from here. So right now, we just get some funded to upgrade completely our website and to pass from a regular website to actually a platform for online sales.
Yeah. Do you find that some of your vendors have moved on to start full-time businesses?
Yeah, you have many stories at the St. John Farmers Market. St. John Farmers Market was probably one of the first regular market events happening on a regular basis, even if there were season. So many of those regular vendors, even coming in a casual way, but coming regular every year, they develop their own business platform, and many of them, they switch to full-time business. So that's just one example. So just give 4, 6, 7 more years, and you're going to have more markets doing the same thing. Many of my friends and vendors, they are right now being full-time just entrepreneurs. That's the whole point. Yeah, the CBC Radio recently, I was talking like, if you want to support local employment, small local business. That is the way. Like, and they are like hiring people, like right now. They're hiring people. That's it. Myself, I just hired 2 people. And also I'm working part-time. It's crazy thing.
Is there a piece of music that I can put underneath this?
I'm playing music as well. So, and I'm not a big fan of any specific band. Whoever is making an artistic expression which is genuine, I'm interested. That's it. Well,
I should really play one of your songs.
Maybe not. So if I got time, hopefully I start like playing my music. If it's not this year, hopefully next year with my own band from Newfoundland. No, it would be like a more multicultural folk music, mixing jazz, blues and rock. I'm a rock person, so.
Nilo Gonzalez with a tune called Move On. And he's also my guest today, a real multitasker, not only answering questions, but providing the music as well. In this second section of the interview, we talk about how markets need to be an experience, engaging all of our senses. You talked about culture as well there. And what does that have to do with food?
Everything. I think a market experience, if you go to a farmer's market, if you go to a community market, or a market comes to your town or whatever, it's all about senses. So it's really organic. So farmers, for example, they bring fresh produce, and if you touch the fresh produce, if you smell it, if it's wet and whatever, it's an organic thing. So obviously fresh produce, flowers, and food, it's obviously affecting more than just your vision, smell. And so as more organic, as more sensitive is the experience, better. So when you add obviously food and you see a physically person from somewhere else, it's like it's the connection in your brain is right away. So it's like when you say multicultural international market, people right away associate with, okay, there is international food, there must be. And in terms of actually non-food international vendors, we are really proud to be one of the market organizations to hold many of them. We have literally right now a vendor definitely from each continent, but probably for each main culture. If you go to any of our market events, especially when we have more than 20, 30, 40 vendors on site, at least 7, 8 different languages are going to be like here.
So if I'm a community and I have a festival going on and I say I need to have some cool food, and I just give you a call and you manage that for me.
Basically. And if we are physically unable to go, our network, I mean, we share, we put in contact with someone who might be available or not. And for example, for the next 5 weeks, in every single event that we are not organizers. We just invited. Can you bring, for example, 15 vendors? Yeah. What do you need? It's not who you need. It's what do you need? This kind of products. Okay, I have the people. They're going to bring those products. If you want a specific product and no one can offer it, then it's a great opportunity. And we make a call in the pool because, okay, who can offer this kind of product? Is there any potential vendor out there?
Do they ask for music and stuff like that too?
Absolutely.
And you can look after that?
Absolutely. I mean, personally, I have my own network with artists. Just like I have more than 200 vendors, they have more than 200 artists.
Do you feel like a circus promoter or something?
Kind of thing. Like I said, I feel like I'm a manager from a rock band. I'm a road tour manager. And I have a 200 rock band.
But they probably don't have the egos of rock stars.
No.
How do you define local? Local is sort of a troublesome term sometimes.
When I arrived in Canada, in Newfoundland, almost 9 years ago, whenever I say local, people say, what? It's like here from downtown, from the neighborhood, from where? Local was associated with like farming, with fresh produce, for like that kind of thing. And then gradually I could see now local is like, okay, whatever is coming from here. So I think our job as a market organization or just as a person involved with local initiative is just to show them that local is beyond your neighbor, is beyond your city. It's more like a cultural thing. It's basically just we're trying to ask everybody, just be consequent with your environment, with your immediate environment. That means your coffee shop, your neighbor, your family, like wherever you're living. Just interact with them and be part of it. That is being local, no more than that.
Over the last few years, you've helped a number of other markets in Clarendonville and Cornerbrook and so on. Do you have any observations about the market scene in Newfoundland, Labrador?
It's growing. It's definitely growing. It's, like I said, from the vendor part in, it's growing because they need to increase their incomes. So you have that pressure. But also, you have more newcomers too. And when I say newcomers, I mean not only just people from outside Canada. Outside of the island, it's also newcomers too. Or even Newfoundlanders returning after a few years. So they want to do something. They want to something for fun or for free. I mean, something that they enjoy. So you have that side growing. But on the other side, you have, like I said, this kind of concept of supporting local growing as well. I think no one who has no experience at all as a customer attending market, none of those people, they are expecting that in these like market events, they're going to find cheap things. If they're looking for cheap things, they don't get the concept yet. But personally, it's really inspiring when you see the transformation from a Costco, whatever is cheap, and they go to these events and they got like, wow, this is actually really cool, really high quality. And they almost feel sorry that they didn't bring enough cash or enough money that day to buy everything. And then you see them coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. And slowly, they're like, not switching, but they're reducing the consumption from big companies and they start supporting local. That is the whole point. That is the whole thing. That situation is happening. It's growing in Newfoundland. It's growing more and more and more and more. The young generations, what I have seen in different markets, different venues, different cities, the young population, they go to these markets actually to hang out, to have some kind of social life. The young kids or the young population coming from other places, they go to these market events to reconnect because in the original places, in the different cultures, they have that routine to, okay, I go to farmers market to see my family, my friends, whatever. So they come here and even if they don't have more relatives, at least they go to these market events and they have a sense of family, a sense of connection with the local community. So that it's happening. If the local Newfoundlander isolated with zero contact with any market experience can expect that they're going to come to see us. That's why we want to go to them. Just to bring the experience, just to bring a taste of what is this about.
It's unfortunate that the term flea market people associate, and that's entirely different.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's like, for example, if you're a band playing your own songs, competing with a tribute band, it's almost the same thing. It's like you have these groups at the fairs or flea market that they're bringing. Unfortunately, you have to say it's a low quality product with the best intention, but it's usually low quality, not really connected to themselves.
It's just a cover band.
It's just a cover band.
Move On, composed and played by my guest today, Danilo Gonzalez. Can you guess that Carlos Santana is one of his musical influences? If you want to hear more of his music, go to YouTube and search for his channel. You could become a subscriber even. In this last section of the interview, we talk more about markets, about the need for coordination, for entrepreneurship. Ready? Here we go. I get a sense that you think that developing local markets, you do it with food and other things as well at the same time.
I'm not a big fan of quiet markets. I don't mean quiet in terms of sound. I mean like you go and you see a vendor behind a table or behind a booth. And that kind of interaction, we call it like a bi-directional. It's just customer, vendor, vendor, customer. No. Yeah. We're trying to have a multi-directional thing. So that's why we add in some activities, people from outside bring in some performance. So like we're trying to offer activities that people they can connect. So my long-term vision here and anywhere where I go, I'm trying to make people see that market is just an excuse to connect. Can we go for a coffee? When you go for a coffee with a friend or family, it's not the coffee itself. It's not a coffee shop neither. It's a connection with the person. So the coffee and the coffee shop is just an excuse. The market, it should be an excuse to connect with people. In the sense of like belonging to a community is how much do you connect.
You talk about community a lot there, and community is all about creating citizens who are actively involved. Are there things that you see government could do or whatever level?
I see a genuine interest and a positive spirit of cooperation. What I can see is like there is an increasing interest from the government to study options. I feel all the time I'm invited to talk to the local government to say, okay, what do you need? My approach and people like me, we don't ask for help. We propose. We propose plans, as not even solutions. Like this is a revolution, innovation for the local government, for your city. So I see an increasing interest here. I see an spirit of cooperation, just offering the tools, but no one is going to give you money just because you have a market, for example. Yeah, all of them might do it for one season, and then what? You need to explain and show, not to the government, to everybody, what are you doing and what is so important for the community. Once you do that part, when you show your problem should be that you have so many vendors, you have a high demand for customers, but there is no venue. Can the city help you to find a building? Yeah, we can do it. So you need to give to the city, for example, metrics, something specific, some like specific tool, specific process, specific protocol, not just like, hey, I want money to have a local community market. Yeah, good luck.
So you've been here 9 years. How have you seen the community change over that time?
More color. I see more color in their faces, more accents. It's like becoming a little bit more multicultural.
How about food? Think like the food culture.
Absolutely. I mean, even from the restaurant level, I mean, it's so famous for like high quality food and cuisine. As a normal just resident here, like I would say that the quality of life, by the financial part, the high costs and taxes, I think it's getting better and better. That whoever stays here is because they want to stay and they want to do things, they want to change things. I would say that the quality of life is changing for good. Communities, they're getting together, they're doing more things together. Actually, now there is a need of coordination, I would say, because there are so many good ideas, there's so many, okay, let's put together and let's not just talk. I'm a guy that I don't like to talk so much, so let's do something. And the other thing I could see is more like an entrepreneur. So I see more people trying to invest, and that's why you have like more complaints at the same time. It's like we're trying to bring a new business and the taxes and blah, 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 right?
Do you remember the first market you ever went to when you were growing up? Were there markets that were important that created that image in your mind that you ended up working in markets?
I think working or creating markets was like just a natural consequence of having a background in agriculture. So I'm originally from Chile, but also I was growing up in Argentina as well. So you have two of the main countries in South America, and in both of them, the place that you could find me was like eating barbecues and choripans in the local farmers market, playing football, soccer on the street and that kind of stuff. So that sense of community, family thing, I think it was like from since I'm a kid. So after when I decided to be an agronomist and work in agriculture, my main motivation, it wasn't to work for Monsanto or for a big company. I prefer to work for and with families. So I did all the farming part, I did all the agricultural part, and said, okay, now I want to work in cities and bring agricultural stuff to a city. That's when I came, okay, what if I become an urban agricultural specialist? And through that, I end up like, okay, after teaching hundreds and hundreds of families in South America, America how to grow food, and they say, okay, now we have all this extra food, what do we do? We create a market, we need to sell it. And that's how I end up finding myself by accident. Okay, we need to create markets, and I start creating markets.
In my limited experience in Central and South America, the markets there are amazing, like they're vibrant, and so I get a sense of what you're trying to create here, yeah. Which is more than just food, but it's culture, it's pandemonium.
Oh, absolutely. Farmers markets is a concept, it's a transnational thing. It's like no matter which person you're talking for any culture, they're going to say, okay, what is your local farmer's market? Let's meet there. Just like you say, okay, what is your favorite coffee shop? Let's meet there for a chat. They're going to ask you, what is your favorite local farmer? In my case, and in many, many, we don't even think about markets or local markets. It's in our DNA. My own hometown, I'm from Valparaiso, Chile. We have seven different farmer's market, which is not just a fair outside on the street. We're talking about buildings from the 1900 with five different floors. Then you have the first floor, which is fresh produce, the second floor is like the restaurant, and the third floor is the bar and arts and theater or whatever. So you grew up with that.
What's your favorite food?
Nothing and all of it. It's impossible. I would say whatever is fresh.
Fresh
and local. I'm not crazy yet. I don't eat insects yet.
You have no vendors selling insects yet?
No, for now.
Are there things that you'd like people to grow here?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's how I get involved in Newfoundland Fears. I decided to come to Newfoundland because I was in Alberta Fears, and I asked there, what is the worst province to grow food? What is the concept of like a really bad province in terms of like food security? Ah, Newfoundland. So, okay, I'm going to check it out.
Sometimes people would do the opposite. They'd not come
here. Like when I arrived here, I was like, okay, this is just a mental concept. It's not true. You can grow many things. Everybody asked me, Chile must be super warm. Yes and no. I mean, it is so long that if you go to the end of the South Hemisphere, it's the same like the north of the North Hemisphere. So it's like if you're close to the North Pole, it's the same that if you're close to the South Pole. So when you come from a place in the world when you have seen people close to Antarctica growing strawberries, watermelon, and tomato plants without greenhouses and without heat, it's like, okay, if they can do that anywhere, and especially somewhere in Newfoundland, you can. There's only one really serious limitation in Newfoundland, which is the wind. That is the really number one limitation. So you need to adapt everything to that. That is the only thing. It's not the temperature, it's not the light, it's not, no. Everything is possible as long as the residents, the customers, they support more farmers. And say, yeah, the government can find you like $1,000 and you can build a beautiful greenhouse, or you can build a real farmer's market. But if the local residents, they prefer Costco, there's nothing to do. It's not just about how to produce, how to grow something. That's technically easy. It's like, who's going to buy, when, and how. Mm-hmm. It's more like a commercial, it's more like an economic thing. So then, yes, the government has to be, the local government has to be involved in that, because it is an educational part, right?
Thanks so much for taking the time.
No,
it's great.
Yeah. No worries.
It sounds really exciting.
So we're like expanding the way of thinking to many people.
So the Market family is nowhere and everywhere.
Yeah, you got it.
Sometimes limitations to what we can grow are more in our minds than in our soil or weather or hours of sunlight or even wind. As the local food movement grows and the markets that support it expand, there will be new challenges and new problems and a need for new structures. But all that is good. And as you no doubt noticed, markets and food are closely related to community, to culture, to creating excuses to connect with each other.
If you want to support local employment, small local business. That is the way. Having the regular venue in a regular community with regular vendors is high cost. But when you are so flexible and mobile as the wind, you can cancel, you can move, you can switch. Everything is possible as long as the residents, the customers, they support more farmers. But if the local residents, they prefer Costco, there's nothing to do.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of this show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The song for today's show was Move On, a piece of music by our guest, Danilo Gonzalez. I had to twist his arm to allow me to play his music, but you can find a couple dozen of his songs on YouTube. The theme music, Cluckold Hen, was performed this week by the Americana jam band, McMule. They play at taverns and garden centers and wineries and barbecue roadhouses throughout rural New York State. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
Market is just an excuse to connect.